what I say today will change your life. Turn over to Nehemiah in chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. We'll be covering a lot of word today, and I just really want to have you grab a hold of what's about to be spoken into your life. What I want us to do throughout this whole message is to be able to cultivate and promote the joy of the Lord. Cultivate and promote the joy of the Lord among God's people as a powerful source of spiritual strength. You see, joy is strength. And when you're able to do that and to apply that in the life of your own life and in the life of your family, in the life of co-workers, in the life of people that you literally relate to during the week, you'll be able to see how strong and how powerful joy can be in your life. So I really want us to pay attention today to the very depth and the importance of what joy can do for you. Let me read from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 11 today. And let me read to you what it says. And Nehemiah, who was the governor of and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." You know, we're living in an exciting time in our life. We're living in a time when people can be on Facebook and Twitter and computers. They can go to different parts of the Bay Area and enjoy life. You can be on the computer and you can go across the world and visit a city. You can have friends across the world. We're living in an exciting time. We're living in a time where we have to see and understand what God is doing. And you see, what we have to understand is God wants to call us to celebration. God wants to have us to be in celebration. And I think that if we would understand that what celebration is, there's the story that's found in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, that where Zacchaeus could not see the Lord. And he came and sought the Lord by climbing in the tree. And when Jesus saw Zacchaeus' face, he said, "Let's go to your house today for lunch." And he did. He went to his house. I thought that's pretty cool. You know, and I shared about this about a week ago, I believe, or 2 weeks ago. And the uniqueness about this is that he was talking about, and during these scriptures here, about celebration in life and to be able to celebrate the presence of the Lord and to be able to celebrate the ability that God gives us. He says to him, "Your household today is saved because of what you've done." And I think that what we understand today, if we will, that joy is a very important part of our life. Every day, joy is important for us. Joy is something that we want to obtain every day. Joy is something that we look at every day. And it's so important that if we're not closely paying attention to this, we're going to miss that Nehemiah was stating that the day that they were celebrating was a sacred day. It was a holy day. And you know, you and I come to church, and this is the day that we're celebrating. This is a holy day. You know, church is not just, oh, church. This is a holy day. This is a day that we can understand what's going on in the life of others and how God has touched their life and what He's doing for their life. I want you to hear what the fruit of the Spirit is too, because a lot of people forget about the fruit of the Spirit. It becomes almost a cliche statement, a knowledge that we know we have, but we don't practice. Listen to what it says. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, in other words, there is nothing in the law that's going to stop the fruit of the Spirit being active in your life. And I want you to pay attention. It is love, joy. Joy. Don't let anybody take your joy. Amen. Don't let anybody come into your life and take your joy and just remove it and have it to where it's no fun anymore. Our faith needs to be optimistic. We need to realize that God has given us a faith. Faith and negativity do not blend together. We need to be positive in who we are in Jesus Christ. I want everybody to realize today, and I know you know this, I want you to realize that the fruit of the Spirit contains joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit is one large fruit. It's not broken down into a little segment here and a little segment there. It's one large. It contains joy. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. And we need to be able to practice these containments in our life every day. And one of the things the enemy likes to take from people, or people in a negative world like to take from people who want to live in an optimistic faith world, is joy. They want to steal your joy. You know, I was driving down the street the other day and I got a phone call. You know, I sold one of my cars when we got ready to get the car we have now, so I sold it. It was a fair price, I thought, and everything was right. So I got a phone call the other day, and the person who bought it said, I hate to tell you this, but the car got impounded. And I said, okay. I said, so I guess you're telling me this because why? Well, because I loaned it to a girlfriend of mine, and she took it out, and she rammed into it in another car. It was her boyfriend's car, and they got in an argument. I said, well, why are you telling me this? She says, because I've never changed it over to my name. And right now, I got to get it out today by 5:30, or they're going to charge me another $96. I said, well, how much is it? She says, well, as of today, it's $450. I said, well, okay, how would you want me to proceed? She says, I hate to ask you this, Pastor, I hate to ask you this. Is there any way that you could get it out today? I said, so you're asking me, and I'm happy today. I'm in a happy mood. I just got a phone call. So you're asking me that I drive to the impound place, which I have no knowledge where it is right now, and to come up with $450 that I could get the car out that you bought 3 weeks ago and you loaned out to your girlfriend who drove it into the side of her boyfriend's car because they were in an argument. And she says, yeah, that's what I'm saying to you. I said, well, you're very fortunate because I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. I'm out there getting food for the poor. I'm excited. I'm happy. I've been praying all day. And just get this phone call. It's a joy killer right there. And I said, okay. And I said, you're in great fortune today. I'm in Santa Cruz right now. I'm in the Trader Joe's parking lot. Just got through negotiating part of the Thanksgiving turkey giveaway with Trader Joe's. And I said, where's the car located? She says, it's out on Soquel Avenue on the frontage roadside. And I said, okay, that's good. Now can you tell me the address? She goes, I'm going to have to find out and I'll have to text it to you. So she does that. I said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get your car out. I accentuated your car out. And I said, please don't ever loan the car to anybody again that is in my name. Then they're driving it. And just please don't do that. And what I want you to do, as soon as I get the car out, would you please get it registered in your name? So I drive out there. I'm still happy. I'm not letting anybody steal my joy. It's mine to keep. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. This is who I am. I've got optimistic faith. Everything's going to go well. So there it is. I get out there, and there's the tow truck driver. And God is showing me favor because he wasn't supposed to be there, and there he was. He said, you're here to pick up the Volvo, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am. He said, come on in. He says, I recognize you. He says, you're the pastor that takes care of all the poor in Santa Cruz. I said, yes, I am. I don't recognize you, but thank you for saying that. And I'm getting more joy in my life and everything. He says, well, the bill is $513. Another somebody trying to steal my joy. From River Street and US 1 to Soquel Avenue. It went up $63. So now it's $513 to get the car out. And I said, I'll be more than happy to pay that. I paid for the car and he took it and he released it to me. And I called the girl on the phone. I said, the car is now parked across the street at the pizza place. You could just go over there and ask the owner for the key and he's got it and everything's going to be fine. I cleared it with the tow truck company. I said, I need somebody to be there at my house as soon as I go home and I'll be there in a half hour with $513. She said, it wasn't supposed to be that much. I said, when I get to the gate, I need $513. I got to the gate. Guy gave me $520 and this is what I said. I said, I invested $513. I drove up the mountain and I made $7. I was happy. There is joy. You see, sometimes if you let the enemy steal your joy, you miss what God can do for you. Don't let the enemy take your joy. Don't let him come in and just take it away. I like what it says in Galatians 5 and 25. It says, if we live by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, and that if is really in the Greek, since we live by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is always happy. Always in step. He doesn't walk in a sad step. He doesn't walk in a, I don't have any joy step. When somebody calls on the phone, and if he answers the phone, which he doesn't, but if somebody called on the phone and the Holy Ghost answered the phone and they started to get negative on him, he'd turn the negativity right around to being positive and allow the people to know there is another way to look at something. You can look at things optimistically and you can believe. You don't have to allow somebody to steal your joy. You go to work, you're happy, and by the time you sit down at your desk, in your cubicle, or whatever you're doing in life, and all of a sudden your coworker says something and your joy is stolen. You're in a parking lot ready to pull into a particular slot that you've been waiting for, and someone drives in and takes it before you. Your joy is stolen. Don't let that happen. Just find another parking spot. Don't let your joy be taken from you because it's so important. We are in church today. This is a day that we are rejoicing in. We're in the presence of the Lord today. This is a day that the Lord has given us. Let us enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Amen. Let's be happy that we know who Jesus Christ is. Amen. We're happy that we're saved. I am so happy that I'm saved. I am so happy that when I die, which I will one day, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm so happy that the devil lost his grasp on me 37 years ago, and I'm not going to let him take me back, and I'm going to be happy about my salvation. Yeah. Be thankful. Don't let anybody take your joy. You know, they were celebrating the Feast of the Trumpets at this particular moment in time when this was written. And the Feast of the Trumpets was there. It was a joyful celebration. Do you know why it was joyful? Because it was reminding the people that in a few days, there was going to be the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was coming. The Day of Atonement was the day, once a year, that came that they were forgiven of all their sins. So the Feast of the Trumpets was reminding them, the trumpets would blow, the celebration would be, that just in a few days that they would be forgiven of all their sins from that year. I want to tell you something. Jesus died at Calvary's cross. There's no more Day of Atonement. We've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We don't have to wait every year to be forgiven. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are saved. You are part of the family of God. That's a joyful experience.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people, though, can really come into your life and kind of tear it down. They really can. They can just all of a sudden make you feel like I'm not there any longer. But don't let that happen. Sometimes they come into your life and you come walking in smiling and you leave sad. You can have a beautiful smile like that little girl right there. Willow. She was here. She's visited our church with her mom and dad. But I was looking for pictures to put on the PowerPoint, and there she was. And I thought, boy, that's a beautiful smile. That's a smile that says, I'm happy. Not only is she smiling in that picture, her eyes are smiling. Amen. And in the Bible it says that if we can listen to this right now. It's so important. Galatians 5 and 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Don't let the enemy put you in enslavement. Captivity to anything that is negative will stop the joy in your life from happening, because you will not be able to be joyful if you're captive to negativity. Break the chains of negativity by having faith in a living God, knowing that the battle belongs to Him.
Amen.
Knowing that no matter what you go through, God is able.
Right.
The Bible declares it. He is able. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. See, my circumstance is gone. I don't have any joy left. Let me tell you what Martha and Mary, they thought their circumstance was gone. Their brother was dead. 4 days in a tomb, and Jesus brought joy back into their life by calling Lazarus out of the tomb by one word, Lazarus, his name. He said, come forth. and he came forth and he was alive. So if you think your circumstances are dead, they're not. Recently I read Ezekiel in 37. Again, I love that. Can these bones live? Only thou knowest, Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came over that. He said, prophesy over these bones. And the sinew came, the muscle came, the skin came. And then he spoke to them. And God breathed on them and they became a mighty army. If you think it's all over, it's not. Don't let negativity or circumstances in your life keep your joy. Your joy is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't let anybody steal your joy. They don't have a right to your joy. They don't have a right to your joy at all. Don't allow yourself to fall into this apparent sadness. Look at that kitty. He looked so sad. Look at my granddaughter up there. She looks so sad at that door right there. I know that she's not, but she looks sad. But don't let anybody take your joy. Your joy belongs to you. You have a personal joy. You have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. How many believe you're a Christian today? How many believe that God can help you no matter what? How many believe that no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it is, God can bring you through it? Well, there's your joy. There's the joy that he's able to help you no matter what. You say, oh, I've been so bad. I've been so away from God. He could never help me. Don't listen to the enemy of your soul. Don't listen to people tell you that. Don't listen to yourself telling you that. Let me tell you what the word says. There is no unforgivable sin. There is nothing that you have done that God cannot fix. Praise God. And there is nothing that's going on in your life that God can't come and intercede and protect you from. Have the joy of the Lord and know that through his joy, through the joy he has placed in you by the fruit of the Spirit, you have victory. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. You can't allow it. Keep hold of it. Remember what belongs to the Lord. The battle does. You know, sometimes people get fighting a battle so much they get too weary and they don't know how to be joyful anymore. I'm too tired fighting the battle. Here's my answer to that. Stop fighting the battle. It's God's battle. You're his children. He loves you and I. He cares for you and I. He will protect you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is always there for us. He will not ever walk away from us at all. Even in this time when our society, this societal system that we live in, we still can have the strength that comes from God. The societal system that we live in tries to steal our strength, tries to steal our joy, tries to pull us back and away from God. Listen, march towards God. Believe in God, trust in God, and know that the knowledge of the Lord through his word is in your life. If you're feeling sad, open the book and read it. You'll feel glad. If you're feeling down, go ahead and pray. You're going to feel up. You're going to feel okay then. You've connected to God and everything's going to be all right. Be happy. Oh, nothing. I can't be happy. I don't have any joy left. Everything's wrong in my family. And it seems that everything I do goes wrong. Let me tell you something. It's not going to go wrong. It's going to end up right. It really is. It really is. Sometimes we wrestle against things that are amazing. The enemy comes at us left and right, backwards and forwards, all day long, pounding on us, telling us that we're never going to make it, telling us that we're not loved, telling us that we'll never be able to complete the task that was set before us, telling us that we're just quitters, we're not finishers, telling us that we should have never started, telling us that that you're just not loved by anybody at all, you're just alone in this world. The enemy pounds on us and pounds on us. Let me tell you something. This is what you need to do. You need to stand up. Find a place to praise. Lift your arms up into heaven and praise the living God. You know, if you would follow me around for some days, you would know that I do that. Sometimes you'll find me at 3:30 in the morning standing on my property with my hands looking up towards the sky through the redwoods, praising God, thanking Him for His mercy, thanking Him for all that He does, knowing that He is the joy of my life. I'm not going to let the enemy steal from me and take from me. Let me take you through a story that you've heard before in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It's a tremendous story. I'm not going to read the scriptures to you, but it's about Peter and John going into the temple that day to worship. They were driving to church? No. They were walking to church? Yes. But in our modern day, they were driving to church, unless your name is Dewey and Robin. And they don't walk to church, they drive to church. You know, when they bought the car, the guy said, well, you know, you got to keep the amount of miles down. They said, I don't think we'll have any problem with that. You know, we have to drive to church for such a long distance. You know? And then Janae, she walks to church sometimes, and then sometimes I'll pull up and I see this white van. I said, is it difficult to get it here? And he says, yeah, it was such a long drive. But, you know, what we have to understand is that these two men, highly anointed of God, had faith in God, had joy. Had joy. Everybody say that with me. Had joy. They had joy. They were going into the temple to worship. They came by a man that literally, now hear me, that man was there for almost his whole life begging. Begging. Someone had to take him there, drop him off. Someone had to come back and pick him up and take him home. And all day long, he had a wooden cup. And he would shake what little money that was in there, whatever coins were in there, to get the attention and call out, alms, please. Alms, alms. He was right by the Gate Beautiful. And they came by that day, and something happened that day because he shook his cup, but Peter looked at him, and he looked at Peter, and there was a connection. There was a gaze between the two. I don't know how long that connection lasted, but I know that Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have is Jesus Christ, rise and be healed. He reached out to the man. The man reached back to him and he lifted the man up and the man stood on his feet for the first time of his life. And the Bible declares that he began to dance and leap. Church, there's so many people today that are right by the Gate Beautiful, sitting in pews and chairs across America, that literally are in captivity, in custody, in confinement, and they're right by the Gate Beautiful. I'm here to tell you, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have is Jesus Christ. Rise and be healed. That man rose to his feet. That person could rise to her or his feet today and leap and be thankful. And when they got into the temple, he went into temple for the first time in his life. I pray that people across America that go to church would finally realize where they are at. They are in church. They're not in a place where it's supposed to be sad. It's supposed to be happy. Glad. Thankful. Mercy has rewritten our lives. Grace has been bestowed upon us, and even in our weakest times, God will be made strong through us. There's no reason to be angry. There's no reason to be upset. There's no reason to be angry at the world. There's no reason to be angry at God. I meet people all the time that are hopeless. They're angry at God. I tell them, don't be angry with God, because God wants to be your friend. God's the only one that's going to get you out of your situation. The system is not going to get you out of your situation. This societal system isn't. It'll keep you in your situation. God, just by a spoken word, can change your whole direction of life. He can turn you around and He can put a smile on your face, joy in your heart, love in your spirit. He can touch your life with all things, and you can stand up and you can leap and dance and go right into the house of God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people will see and they will say, wasn't that the person that was always sad in church? Wasn't that the person that was just really close to the gate beautiful but didn't realize that they were that close to the gate beautiful and didn't realize that there was deliverance from their situation? Friend of mine, there is deliverance through joy. There is deliverance through knowing who Jesus Christ is. There is freedom in Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that liberty is the Spirit. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Someone get happy with me today. Don't just look at me like I'm up here preaching and you're in some of the movie house or something. I'm telling you, there's a smile that needs to be worn on every saint of God's face. We are saved. Amen. A positive attitude, it's gonna get done. Not it, I don't know how to do it. The positive attitude is, I'll get over that mountain. It's too high, not too high for me to climb. It's the people say, I can't climb that mountain. It's too high. No, I'm not going there. The ocean, you can get across the ocean. Just buy a boat ticket. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can get across the river, buy a canoe, get in a canoe, whatever it is. You can make it through any trial, any tribulation. I'm here to tell you something today. Can I say something to your spirit? God loves you. God doesn't want you to be sad. God doesn't want you to be distraught. God doesn't want you to be in confinement or custody or captivity by some emotions. God wants you to be free to worship Him, free to praise Him, free to know that He is your God, free to praise Him, and free to dance before the Lord, free to bow down before the Lord, and free to express your joy and share your joy with others. Sometimes people ask me why I'm so happy. I said it's very simple. I'm happy because God lives in me. I'm happy because I can go back 37 years and know where I was. I can move forward 37 years and know where I am. And I can look down the road at the hope of where I'm going. I don't look back 37 years and say, what a bummer. I look back 37 years and I say, victory, victory, victory is mine. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am where I am today, standing in the greatest church in America, preaching the gospel to the greatest people in America. And I can say to Jesus Christ, the Lord my Savior, victory, victory, victory is mine. Hallelujah. And I can look down the road and see where I'm going. And I can say, victory, victory, victory is His, praise God. Because He has made it way for all and each and every one of us to get through and make it to glory. Amen. Or we can... I like being sad. This morning I got up and put on my shirt of distress. I put on each foot doubt. Yes, and then I realized I hadn't put my pants on yet, and I had my doubt on my feet already, so I kicked the doubt off, and then I pulled on my pants called depression. I put on the belt of discouragement. I went over and picked up, combed my hair of despair. Then I picked up my glasses that only allows me to see difficulties. And then I realized I had 5 appointments I had to get to and take care of so many things. And I realized that I had to go in and put on my suit coat of anxiety. You know, that's not how we dress. We gird around our waist truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the gospel of peace. We pick up the shield of faith, and it's going to quench every fiery dart missile of the devil. And we pick up and we put on the helmet of salvation because we know who the captain of our salvation is. And we pick up the sword of the Spirit because we know that out of our mouth this day will come the joy of speaking God's word. Hallelujah. We need to know who we are in Him. We need to know what God wants for us through Him. We need to realize that we can be healed. We can be saved. We can know that joy creates worship. Isn't that amazing how joy will create worship? The secret of that joy is believing in God. Believing in God. Knowing that God will do what He's going to do because He said He's going to do it. He said He's going to do it. He said He'll heal you. He said He'll save you. Praise God, He'll do that. Amen. He'll do that. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have is Jesus Christ. Rise and be healed. Wow. How amazing that is. We have to know that we're not basing all our life on superstition and presumption. We're basing our life on a faith-based word that God says He is God and He will handle it.
Amen.
Thank you. I got one amen there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and say it again so I can at least feel I got two. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God's word is right here. I carry a big black Bible. Some people don't. They carry a small one. That's okay. Because contained between the two bindings is the word of God.
Amen.
And that word says that we're all right. That word says that we're going to make it. I like what it says in Psalm 119, 162. Let me tell you something. Joy is the strength, and joy causes us to worship. It causes us to worship. You know, when you have a hard time worshiping, it's because your joy is not there. You know, just put on the joy. Put on the garment of praise. Put on that garment of praise and worship Him and praise Him and thank Him. I've been to all sorts of different cultures of churches, preaching the gospel. And I watch people of different cultures dance different ways when they get excited, praise God. And I know there's some people in their churches that get so excited that they circle around them and they hold hands around them so they don't dance out into the audience somewhere. But they're not going to stop their joy. They're just going to protect them from dancing out into the audience. Amen. I've been to churches where people have started to dance and people didn't guard them around them. They just stopped their joy. You can't do that here. Praise God. You know, I tell you, Shirley Caesar's song's coming to mind right now. Hold My Mule. Let me tell you what, that man sat in the front row. Church started. His hands went up. He was praising God. The elders came up and held his hands. His feet started to move. They couldn't hold his feet. They asked him to leave the church, and they went out there to meet him out there in the field, and he was plowing with the mule. He said, "You, brother, you can't do that in our church. You can't raise your hands and you can't let your feet move like that." You know what he said to him? He said, "Right now I feel like dancing and praising." He told them, "You hold my mule while I dance and praise." Praise God. I'm going to tell you right now, friend of mine, we need to be able to shout the victory. We need to believe in who we believe in, because He believes in us.
Amen.
rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. Not one who finds great sorrow. Something that's bitter. The Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that He is good. We have to understand that what we do, there is supposed to be great celebration in our life. Not just in the walls of a church, but everywhere we go. Wherever we live, in our neighborhood, in our cell group, our connection group, in our workplace, joy. You say, well, Pastor, I cannot speak in my workplace because it's a secular organization and I can't go in there and say anything because I can lose my job. Well, you know what? Joy is contagious. Positive attitude is contagious. Faith is contagious. I used to work out at Gold's Gym, and I'm going to close right now, but in Hayward, California for a long time. And I worked out with all sorts of sinners, WWF wrestlers, Hell's Angels, NFL players. And they called me the pastor of the gym. Because I just had joy. One day I was sitting there doing sit-ups and this NFL guy was next to me, you know, big old dude, you know, and he's a tight end and he was lying next to me and all of a sudden he wasn't doing sit-ups and I was doing sit-ups and, you know, and I'm feeling pretty good because he's not and I am, you know, and I'm feeling all right, you know. And he, all of a sudden his head comes over and he's got tears rolling down his face. He said, Pastor, I need you to counsel me. I'm having troubles with my girlfriend. I put a big smile on my face, and by the end of the time of that day, he walked out smiling. Joy is contagious. Praise God. You know, you can bring joy into somebody's life just by who you are instead of being all sad. Here's something I want to say, too, before I close, and this is something very important. Stop making life so difficult. Life's not that difficult. As a matter of fact, if you stop making it so difficult, you'll probably see that it wasn't difficult in the first place. How many realize that you're not going to live here forever? So while you're here, you might as well have fun. A good friend of mine that passed away with cancer. He was the overseer of California at one time, Edwin King. He was a strict man. To see him, you didn't think there was any joy there. Very strict. You know, and I went to the camp meeting. This is how I first met him. I went to the camp meeting, and everybody in the camp meeting's down there, sitting there. And the preacher's preaching in the camp meeting in Fresno. And everybody's kind of there. Great message, I remember, to this moment. Great message. And everybody's just sitting there. Except for me. Amen, brother! Hallelujah! Preach it! I mean, I just came out of the Church of God in Christ into the Church of God. I was shouting happy. I mean, you go to the Church of God in Christ, you better shout. Or the mother of the church is going to stand up and tell you to shout. That's the truth. It's the truth. I was preaching in the great temple down there in Fresno, California. I was up there preaching as a young man. I was about one quarter into my message. The mother was down there and all the rest of the ladies of the church that serve her. The bishop was here and the ministers were over here. The congregation was packed out. I was preaching and no one was saying anything. They were staring at me. Now I understand what I look like. I'm white. I understand that. Amen. They were not. I'm preaching, the organ wasn't even moving with me. And all of a sudden, the mother witnesses who I am. She looks past the color. She sees the heart. She sees the joy. She goes, "Preacher, stop." I thought, if the mother tells you to stop in the Church of God in Christ, you're either banned or you're going to be blessed. But one of those B's is going to happen. She stood up, put her finger up, turned around, looked at the whole church. "You all preach with this preacher now." Put her finger down, sat down. The next word out of my mouth, everybody went, "Oh yeah, praise him." The organ went, "Praise him." We had church. I'm just trying to tell you there's a joy in our heart. If we know it's there, we need to release it. Edwin King walked down the long walk from that position on the platform. In the old days, all the ministers would sit on the platform that were in the service or part of the service staff, platform staff. And he walked all the way down there, and I thought, oh man, here comes Edwin King, because somebody pointed him out to me. And he said, "I just wanted to come down and shake the hand of this Pentecostal man, because I didn't see any other Pentecostals here today but you." What I'm trying to tell you is that we have a joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit in us. When we get saved, the fruit of the Spirit comes in our life.
Amen.
We just need to exercise that. We need to let that joy just be released. And then don't let anybody dissect you or scrutinize you or separate your joy. Don't let them have that. You know, if they take your parking space, find another one. If you have to pay the money, get it back right away with a little bit of investment. If that's what's going to happen, but put a smile on your face. It's going to be all right. God knows what he's doing. It's good, and he's like that. And I'm going to close with this scripture. Nehemiah 8:13, "And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them." They went and shared their joy. That was their command, to share their joy. To share their joy, to be there and to share it. So I think today where our challenge is to be like them, or to be like the man at the gate, beautiful. To rise, to leap, to dance, and to show joy no matter who we are and where we're going. Praise God. Amen. Joy is strength. Joy is strength.